This morning, we're going to be concluding the series that we've kind of been doing, I think, the last 6 or so weeks, and the series that's been called Not Easily Broken. And so you've seen this slide the last several weeks, and this is what we've been working on. We've been focusing on this idea of community. We've been focusing on relationships and how we, as the body of Christ, are supposed to be, which is together. And so we've been talking about this idea of togetherness and community. And so each week we've been reading this scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so this is where we get the name of the series, the Not Easily Broken. And to be honest, what Ecclesiastes says, what we've been reading in the context around there, it's not saying something that we don't understand. It's saying nothing more really than common sense and things that we get. I don't think the issue is really that we understand what it's saying and we don't accept this as a fact, but I think it's maybe whether we actually practice it as a fact. And so up until this week, we've been talking about these different things. And so we began by talking about this idea of loving one another. And then the next week, we talked about forgiving one another. And the next week, we talked about being devoted to one another. And after that, confessing and praying for one another. And then the next week was carry one another's burdens. And after that, which was last week, was the do nots. And this was all throughout scripture, we have these things that tell us of how we are to be together. And last week was things that we're not supposed to be doing together and the do nots and do not do this to each other. And so we've been working on this for the last several weeks. And today is the conclusion. And today really is perhaps maybe one of the more actionable aspects of this series and what we've been talking about. Today, we're talking about encouragement and how we encourage each other. And so when I was thinking about encouraging and I was thinking about what that means and looking at definitions, encourage simply means to infuse with courage. And so we're providing courage to each other. We're giving courage into another person. And so encouragement comes from a lot of different forms. And I think that sometimes we neglect to really differentiate them. We kind of have this idea of what it means to us, and maybe it's hard for us to understand different ways that we encourage each other. Encouragement comes in all different forms. It comes in words, it comes in actions, it comes in our attitude and our perspective. It comes in a lot of ways that we can encourage each other. Today, mostly because of time, we're going to be talking about encouraging with our words and the things that we say to each other. Often I think that as we think about encouragement, we really only think about things like compliments and good wishes and something like that. And I do think that these are really important aspects of encouragement. And so we're actually going to be talking about compliments specifically a little bit later. And I think that that's going to be somewhere that we do focus this morning. But encouragement overall, including compliments, plays a really important role in our communal life as a church. And that's apparent all throughout scripture. I've picked out a couple in Hebrews. And so this first one's Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger that they shall not enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. And so really what we have here is he's quoting the author of Hebrews is quoting God in this oath he's making and saying that he's frustrated with his people. God is stating that he's frustrated with his people. The fact that they do their own thing, the fact that they turn their own way, the fact that no matter where you look in scripture, you can see where God's people have continually had a hard time following his ways and staying committed to him. And so they're constantly wandering and coming back and wandering and coming back. And so God is expressing this frustration. And so what we see is that he's really kind of saying that this is part of human nature, and he knows that. It's not that it's a surprise to him. He knows that it's human nature that we wander. This is our natural way that we turn away and that we sometimes just get lost. And so God provides an answer through the writer of Hebrews. There's this answer provided in saying that we are supposed to be encouraging each other to stay true to God, encouraging each other to stay on this path, encouraging each other to stay committed, stay convicted, and keep going even when it's not easy. And so the answer is that we encourage one another. And so as we encourage each other, we push each other to good things. We push each other into the direction of God, this direction that God is pulling us, this direction that God is calling us. And encouragement is really all about that. Encouragement is about direction. Because we're humans, we're people. People are dynamic, we're constantly moving, and people easily move away from God. And so as we encourage each other, then we provide the support for each other to return to him. And that's really the purpose of encouragement within a community of faith, is to encourage each other to stay committed and on track with God. And so we move in the right direction. We move toward God. We don't wander and move away from God. Now thinking about this though, when we do move, if we don't all move together as a community, then I think we find other troubles that we have. If you look at this, go to the next slide. Okay, so this is the main slide, the theme slide for this whole series. And I've been looking at this the last several weeks, and I've noticed that in this upper left corner, you see that the rope is starting to fray, that it's split, that there's places where it's broken. I think that that's a significant piece to remember, because there are times that we are inevitably, as people, going to break. We're going to be stressed. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have pain. We're going to have hurts. We're going to have difficulties. But you see that the rope is tied together. It's a cord. It's this idea of having three strands or more together. And so you see that even though there's places where the rope is breaking, think about it as people. We are infused with courage by each other. And so we're being held together. And so you can see that even when we get to this point where inevitably we're gonna have hard times, right? And things are gonna cause us to break and we're gonna have difficulties. And if we're infused with a body of Christ, then it's okay, because people are saying that you are okay, you can do it. We are here for you and we've got you no matter what. And so I see this image of, yes, it's broken, but it's not breaking, because it's got that support. It has that encouragement. Now, when I think about church splits, which happen all around the world, I contend that these might be equal to this rope completely snapping and breaking. And I think we often think of them as being issue-oriented. We think of it as being a certain issue, but it's really something that's systemic. And so the way I was thinking about this and looking at this picture and thinking about how all this goes together, in mental health, we talk about this thing we call the diathesis stress model. And it's this idea that there's this diathesis, there's this weakness, it's this predisposition vulnerability. There's something in us that makes us more vulnerable. And you have different people have that. A lot of times it's going to be biology, it could be trauma, it can be a lot of different things. But we have these vulnerabilities that are within us. And so then what happens is when a stressor comes along and something happens, then that's when we have our issues. But you need both pieces to come together for there to be issues. And so when that stressor then comes in, then it breaks the system. I believe that that's kind of what happens with churches, that there may be something that's built within us that's problematic that's a diathesis. And then some issue, some stressor comes along, and that's when it snaps. I believe that when the rope is pulled tight and stretched thin, it's kind of like when you're trying to cut yarn or you're trying to cut string. If it's floppy and you're trying to cut it, unless your scissors are amazing, it's a lot harder. But if you pull it tight, then it becomes a lot easier, which is great if you're cutting yarn. It's not so great if you're trying to keep a rope together. But it becomes tight. It becomes stretched thin. That's its diathesis. That's where it's a systemic problem. It's in the makeup of a church, perhaps. And so then an issue comes along, and it adds that stress, and then it snaps. And so to strengthen that rope, to make sure that that doesn't happen, we must continually be encouragers of each other. I think that it is a have to. I think that it's something we're called to do because, again, when issues do come up, inevitably something's going to happen. When they do come and times get rough, then we don't break if we are encouraging each other and we do have each other's back and we are infusing courage within the body that's around us. And so because the problem is this happens on a weekly basis all around the country where churches close and split and things happen. And so it's not uncommon. I'm not saying that encouraging each other fixes everything, but I think that if we miss that part, then we are gonna have a lot of problems. So we're gonna see issues. And everyone, I think, a lot of times will blame it on each other's issues while the real concern is being ignored. Encouragement is expected of us from our God. It's expected of us as the body of Christ. It's a part of our call. It's an aspect of what it really means to be church, what it means to be the body of Christ. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. So just a few chapters later, it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur on one another toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So Bill Schindel read this scripture earlier, and it's fitting because it's this idea of encouraging. It's this idea of spurring each other on. Not only does encouragement push us away from sin, which is a part of it, it pushes us away from falling and from wandering, but maybe more importantly, it pushes us toward good things. And it seems that the writer of Hebrews is really saying that this is a natural part of living as the people of God. If we are in Christ, then we come together and we encourage each other. They go hand in hand. If we are a member of the body, then we do encourage. And so now, as I said earlier, I think that complimenting and validating, I think that these are a big part of that. And seemingly, I would think that this is kind of the easiest part because it's just a compliment, right? It's not that hard to give compliments and encourage each other. But if so, then I would say we have a lot of work to do just because I'm not sure that we practice it enough. It becomes, sometimes it's just awkward. Sometimes it's weird. We don't really know how to do it without it coming across as kind of weird. And so I thought that we could actually practice it a little bit this morning. So Bill was talking about Wanda, and so I thought I would just use Wanda. If you're willing to come up here for just a minute, and I've got a chair for you. Maybe. There we go. You can stay here. All right. Right there. Center of attention. So I thought that we could practice this. So we do this. We do this with the teens. It works out to be right around every 15 months or so, depending on different series we're doing or what we're talking about. It works out to be right around every 15 months. We try to do this. We take about 4 weeks and make this a priority that we do each year. And really what we do is we have a chair that's sitting in the middle of the room, kind of like Wanda. And in the youth room, the chair is sitting in the middle of the room and everybody's sitting around the person. And literally all we're doing is we're giving compliments and we're validating that person. We give some ground rules about things, saying that the attention has to be on the other person, not on yourself. Only one person talks at a time. Additionally, a ground rule that we have and will also be for Wanda is the only thing you're actually allowed to say is thank you if you're in the middle. You can't say anything else. You don't have to say anything, but if anything, all you can say is thank you. So we set these ground rules, and we're not going to make a big circle of chairs in here because that would take forever. So we're going to stay as we are, but Wanda's going to be here. And I'm actually just going to ask for maybe 4 to 5 people, we'll just, whatever, just to simply give encouragements and validation and love to Wanda. And we do this in the teen room. Sometimes it's somebody talks for 5 seconds. Sometimes people talk for a minute. Whatever it is, I believe that if Wanda is a person who I think represents encouragement for a lot of people in here. So I would hope that people in here have things that they can say that they appreciate about Wanda and love about Wanda and things, ways she's impacted them. So I'll just open that up. Anybody who wants to just, you can sit or stand and just say encouraging words to Wanda. All right. Well, thank you, Wanda, for sitting up here. I know this isn't your favorite place to be. thank you. Exactly. I did warn Wanda ahead of time so that it wasn't a complete surprise for her, but I didn't say what we were doing. I just asked if she would sit in a chair in the front. But no, thank you for doing that. I'm sure that we could have kept going with a lot of people in here. I think sometimes it's surprising how easy it is. And one of the things that I think we've noticed with the youth group when we do this is words aren't empty. And sometimes we find ourselves like repeating some of the same things and it seems like it's awkward or insincere because of that, but that's not the case. Like if there's something about a person that you really appreciate and that's a obvious gift of theirs, then it's going to be repeated. And so I don't think we should be afraid of that. So this isn't as hard as we think it is. Sometimes we think of this as being really difficult. And I'm not sure that we do this often enough. I think there are a lot of people in here that are really good encouragers and can do this on a regular basis. But as a community, I'm not sure that we do this enough, where we just give compliments and love and encouragement and support and validation and these things that we need. And I think that this would be a really good practice. I was actually thinking this could be something that's really helpful even for small groups. It's a really good setting to be able to do that in, to be able to just be in a small group and give those words of love and encouragement to each other. The point is we need to practice this though, and because without practice, it sometimes does feel kind of awkward, or at least it feels kind of like this isn't just our normal routine. And so it takes practice. It becomes a norm for us as God's people. It should become a norm for us as God's people. If we keep ourselves busy encouraging each other, then guess what we don't have time for? Guess what we have a hard time doing? We're not able to discourage each other. If we are encouraging, then we can't be discouraging. If encouragement is the infusion of courage, then I would say that discouragement is the stripping of courage. Discourage is significantly easier because I think that we do it sometimes accidentally. It's not always intentional. Sometimes we discourage and we don't even realize it. Encouragement takes a lot more work. Encouragement takes intentionality. Encouragement takes effort, but discouragement sometimes just happens and we don't even realize it. But if we're encouraging, that leaves a lot less room for discouragement. You can't do both at the same time. And so I don't know that we often discourage each other intentionally. I'm sure that happens, but I don't think we do it on purpose most of the time. But it still happens nonetheless, where we we're discouraged by, it can be words or actions or attitudes or perspectives. Oftentimes it's simply by invalidating each other and not even realizing it. But people need to be allowed to experience even those moments when they need encouragement. People need to be allowed to experience hurt and pain and sadness and disappointment and these things. Encouragement isn't taking those things away. Encouragement isn't necessarily trying to make it all better. Encouragement isn't dismissing all of those things. It's simply infusing with courage in the midst of the pain and hurts and fear and all those things. Encouraging doesn't take it away, but it builds the person up despite those things. And so we're not fixing all the problems. We're not taking all these things away. We're not taking away and removing the challenges. That's not encouragement. In fact, let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 28. It says, "Do you not know, and have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So here you notice the source of courage is God. God's the one who gives this courage to people. It's not us. And so perhaps our best course of action is simply to offer people the hope of God. And maybe sometimes that's all we can do. We can't fix it, but maybe we can offer the hope of God, because those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, is what it says in Isaiah. They'll soar, they'll run, they'll walk. But it won't be because of us. It's because of God. But maybe we can provide that hope. In the clinic specifically that I'm working at Children's Hospital, our primary kids we see are adolescents who are suicidal. And so in school and trainings, in my internship and the position now, we work a lot with research on suicidality. And one of the most significant and salient factors that I think a lot of people know, this isn't anything new, this is something I think we understand, but one of the primary factors that we note is simply hopelessness. And that comes in a lot of various forms, it comes in a lot of fashions in different ways, but it's this idea of not having hope, having zero hope, hopelessness. So it's complete, utter hopelessness is what sometimes people are experiencing. If we can identify a sliver of hope when talking to people who are experiencing that, then we know that things are going to be better. And so that's one of the things that we work on in counseling, is identifying just a little bit of hope. One of the things that I've said before, actually, is despite the fact that you don't feel like you have any hope, can I at least hold on to a little bit of hope for you? And so perhaps encouragement is largely being keepers of hope for other people. When people are at a point where maybe they don't see hope, maybe they don't see a way out, we can be those keepers of hope for that person. And I think that a large part of that sometimes does come down to just encouraging each other. We can be keepers of hope, hope in God, who I think is the source of courage. And so if we're providing courage, then we need to provide hope in God. And this comes out of our words, it comes out of our actions, it comes out of our attitudes, it comes out of just our way of being with people in the midst of their really dark times sometimes. We make our circle in the teen room and we encourage each other. And largely it's a lot of compliments. But our ground rules guide our compliments to really be initiators of hope, to really build hope. That's kind of our purpose in this whole thing. I would say what takes place up there in the team room is much more than just saying nice things about each other just to make you feel better, make them feel better. It's a lot more than just that. And so as we sit in the circle in the teen room, we reflect the image of God around the room, we reflect the image of God to each other because we're all created in the image of God. And I think that through that, hope is established. So James, we're not going to read anything specifically, but James in several places talks about our tongue. And our tongue and how powerful it is, how hard it is to control, how it can be destructive. But at the same time, it can also be really life-giving to people. Our tongue is powerful, and I think that we need to be very intentional about how we use it. It can become hurtful or it can be life-changing for other people. And so that's my challenge for us then, is may you speak love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and all these things. May we speak those things to each other. May we be those things and may we act upon those things, but also may we just speak those things to each other. May you encourage with your words. May you offer hope in the things that you say, because God encourages those who, he provides courage to those who hope in him. Last thing I want to read is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. It's a common, this whole chapter, a lot of Ephesians actually speaks a lot about how we are to be with each other. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." It's like God's forgiveness, like his love. Everything that we do, everything that we are, is because of the fact that God was that for us before, that the fact that he does these for us. And so that inspires us to then do it for each other. And so our first step to accomplishing anything is to accept what's already been done for us, to accept what Christ has already done for us, to accept what God has already called us to. Anyone who wants to take that step this morning and being baptized and accepting the life that Christ has given us, now is a really good time to do that, committing your life to him. Or maybe you just simply need to be encouraged. Maybe you're at one of those points where you feel like your rope is breaking and you need people to infuse courage into you. Then this is also a really good time to do that. So we're about to stand and sing this closing song together. Whatever that is, you can go ahead and stand. Whatever that is, let us offer that to you. Let us be that for you. That's what the body of Christ is about. So whatever it is that you need, while we stand together, we sing the song, let us know how we can help you.